Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work.
Hello and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Anas, and as always, it's my very peaceful friend, Grace. Grace, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I am feeling very peaceful today because I went for a kayak, the first kayak trip of the season, and it was beautiful today. I saw a swan and some beautiful blooming trees, and it was really great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's like the first few days I've had off in a little while. So I've had the chance to just, you know, be cozy and just rest a little bit, and that's been good. And back at the lights work, so that's always fun, you know. So this is an episode we have a guest. The great thing about this is our guest has no idea why we have him on the pod. So
it's just that he's awesome, right? Like a reason?
No. Well, that obviously, but there's like, you know, there's like a topic, right?
There is a topic.
Yeah. There's a topic. So yeah, our guest for this episode is Rajesh, the chat king, the one of the most funniest people in the fandom.
Like, so funny.
Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Grace and Anas. And just want to say congratulations on 6 months of the Lights Work podcast.
Yeah, I don't know where those 6 months went, so that's crazy. A lot of episodes, a lot of plans. And a lot of plans that we have in the pipeline, right?
You keep saying that, and like, I don't feel like I know of a lot of upcoming plans for us other than to record the podcast. So I feel like you are up to a lot of things right now that I don't know about.
Why do you sound like surprised by that?
I'm not surprised. I'm just...
There are secrets and plans in motion.
Yes, apparently.
Always. It's always another secret, right? But yeah, no, tonight. So there were many things that we could have had, you know, Rajesh on for. So many things. But the one we chose is something that I and you and Rajesh enjoys a lot. And that is interaction on Twitter, but one specific type of interaction. And that is when he says something about Wheel of Time. If we don't get this, I'm going to riot. So this is the riot episode.
Riot.
Riot. The riot crew episode. Fantastic.
Yes. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, seeing that, I feel like it was, again, we have a timeline here that we'll get into a little bit. But there was a time, I don't know, a certain number of months ago where I was like, I'm going to like keep track of this. So we've kept track of some stuff. Well, it's easy to keep track on Twitter. You know, you can just search. But that I think that's kind of where the idea came from, right, Grace?
Yeah. So if you're listening and you don't know Rajesh, he is at Moradin1024 on Twitter and is a very interactive and fun member of the community. And I think we found some tweets as far back as mid-2021 that talk about... that threaten to riot. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this, Rajesh, because you are a very kind, chill, peaceful guy, and I want to know more about your idea of what this riot would look like. So I'm excited to get into that.
I'm kind of afraid to see just how many times I've used riot now.
We may or may not know how many.
Why don't you give us a number?
What do you think? Yeah. How many times?
Oh my god. I'm gonna guess like 300.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it's possible. I don't trust Twitter search, so it's possible there's a lot more than the ones we found.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That is true. But, you know, before we do that, you know, we like to have our guests kind of, you know, tell us their journey and their origin story. So, you know, how did you find the Wheel of Time books? How did that start for you? And then how did you end up joining our fandom?
Okay. How did I find Wheel of Time? Well, that goes back to, I would say, high school. And I think when I really got into kind of reading fantasy novels, and I think, and Wheel of Time wasn't the first one, but for me, it was, my earliest recollection would be The Sword of Shannara from Terry Brooks, the Shannara series, as the kind of the first sort of fantasy book that I saw. And like, I think it was probably the high school library, and it was like, and I guess I had a bias even back then for like the chonky books. So I saw this like big,
it's a pretty chonky book,
fantasy book for a Sword of Shannara, and I picked it up and I enjoyed it.
I'm trying to remember. I think I've read it, The Sword of Shannara. Mm-hmm. This is what I remember. Maybe there's a wizard named Al-Anon.
That's correct. That's correct.
That's all I remember.
Al-Anon,
that's what I remember.
Like the support group. Like that's.
Oh, no. This is A-L-I-N-O-N, maybe. I'm making
it
up.
Okay.
I just know him as Manu Bennett now from the short-lived TV show.
Oh, there is? Yes, yeah. You're right.
Yeah,
but yeah,
the Shannara
I think I've read
Chronicles,
that first book.
That's right.
Yeah, I've never read the books. I've just heard that people hate the TV show. That's all I know.
Yeah. It was like on MTV or something, so I think it didn't get a lot of love.
Did you watch it?
I watched the first season, and it was very, I guess, MTV, you could say. I never watched more.
So you read that, and then did you find another, like, blue chonky book in the library?
Yeah, I can't remember how I came across Eye of the World, but eventually I came across The Wheel of Time. I feel like I probably was in, like, a bookstore, and what probably the latest Robert Jordan books, or maybe, like, Shadow Rising, something was probably on display. That's how I found out about the Wheel of Time series, and I went back to the Eye of the World. But it's really vague. I don't remember now.
Yeah, did you have people around you that were reading with, you know, or like, you know, that you knew were reading some of these books or were reading fantasy that you would talk to?
Yeah. I had a friend in high school who was definitely into the same stuff, and I actually got him into the Wheel of Time, so I remember that. And I had like a bunch of cousins that I basically got into the Wheel of Time. I was just like, you gotta read this, it's amazing. And so they eventually picked it up and started reading it. And so we would have those conversations and stuff. So it was good to have some people to talk to about the series, even back then when there wasn't really kind of like the online fandom where we have now to talk with people.
So did you interact, you know, maybe when all these websites started showing up, you know, 3Land, Dragonmount, Wattmania, and that, or was it really more recently with Twitter of Time that you came into this fandom?
Yeah, so unfortunately I never really found 3Land or interacted with it. I think the only website I had really known about back then was Dragonmount, and it was primarily as a news source, so it'd be like kind of the place I'd go to like find out when is the new book coming out, is it like coming out anytime soon, what's it called,
usually not.
Do we have like the the cover art, you know, like, and that kind of stuff, and that would be like kind of the go-to to try and just refresh it, you know, weekly, just hoping for some news and when's the next book coming out.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I think that I remember going to a lot of websites. I don't remember which ones I went to other than Dragonmount, because I remember that really well. And then, you know, obviously the books, you know, were done. Did you like forget about Wheel of Time for like many years until like the show, like how was that kind of for you?
Yeah, so like Wheel of Time has always been something that's like kind of like come in and gone out of my life. Like it was really a big part of it in high school, in early college, when I was reading it all the way up close to, I think, Crossroads of Twilight, Knife of Dreams era. And then you know, the book started slowing down around that time. They would come out every couple of years. Like, they were coming out at sort of the pace that the early books would come out. And then, you know, Robert Jordan passed. And then it felt like the series was never going to finish for a long time until, you know, we got the Brandon Sanderson news. And kind of back then, like, we didn't have, like, I didn't know about Theoryland at other places. So it was like the only way to really remember what you had read was to reread the whole series, basically. And so I would get tired of that. And I'm like, I'm just going to read this when the whole series is finished. So, like, I got really excited when I found out that Brandon Sanderson was going to finish the series. But I was like, I don't know, I decided I'm not going to read it till A Memory of Light is coming out. And then, like, I think when I finally found out A Memory of Light had a release date, I was like, I'm going to start the series now. And then I just started reading, like, from Eye of the World and just until I finished the whole series. So, and that was, I don't remember, like, that was, like, many years ago. I finished it. It was exciting. And then, like, it kind of waned again as, like, Game of Thrones became popular and pop culture and other stuff became popular. And it wasn't until recently with kind of, like, the TV show and kind of Twitter of Time that kind of came back with the excitement again.
Yeah, I remember meeting you at the Dusty Wheel. That was the first time I had interacted with you. And I don't think you were super interactive on Twitter at first, but then sort of fell into it gradually. Was the Dusty Wheel the first kind of fandom interactions you had, or did you find other creators before that? So how did you get into the current fandom?
So I think, like a lot of people, the first kind of videos that really popped up was kind of like Daniel Green. Because he was like the only, like, one of the few people really doing, like, real-time videos for a long time. So I saw his video, started watching his videos at some point. And then eventually through that, I think, found the Dusty Wheel, I believe. And, like, early on, for the first couple of months, I think, of the Dusty Wheel, I would just watch and kind of have chat on the, like, on my television or laptop. But I was still, like, too afraid to, like, jump into the chat and stuff. So it took a couple of, like, episodes before I finally just, like, okay, I got things I want to say, so I want to jump into chat.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you were great. You were really active in chat, and eventually you became a mod. How did you become a mod, by the way? Did Matt reach out to you, or was it decided by committee? Cause you were a mod before I was, so how did that come to happen?
Wait, you guys didn't become a mod, like, on the show?
No. That's not usually how it goes.
It's not how it goes, okay. Usually. So no, I did not become a mod on the show live, though that was a great experience watching that unfold.
It was awesome, yeah.
That was so great.
Loved it. That was so great.
No, I was, I got reached out to by Pan Malazan, Kayla, Master of the Deck, and... Okay. Was basically asked about, like, you know, if you want to join the mod team and stuff.
Nice. Yeah, she reached out to me too. So she's kind of the recruiter, I think, of the group. So nice.
Yeah. And I imagine there was maybe a mod discussion at the time who was there to decide, because that's kind of like how we've done it for future mods, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, if, like, except me. But
yeah. Except you. Yeah. It's not all about you, though. We're talking about
it,
Rajesh.
It is not? No? Okay. Yeah.
So you've really, you know, integrated yourself into the fandom through Dusty Wheel, Twitter of Time, Discord. You're pretty much everywhere now. Was there a point where you realized the fandom was more than just talking about the books in the show, when you realized how special it was in terms of just how awesome the people are and, you know, the lights work happens all the time? And did you have a moment where you noticed that?
I think initially it's like a lot of talking about real time and just having a lot of fun banter and stuff. And then I think where it kind of really started to become more than that, I think, was probably the Jordan Con that happened about 2 years ago, the one I didn't go to, but kind of, I think, when people first really started meeting each other in person. And like this all came around during lockdown. So obviously it was like, it was all virtual, you know, during the times we were initially chatting on the Dusty Wheel or on Twitter. But then it's like, we had sort of like the first Jordan Con where like a small subset of people really met. And then the first one I went to, like, not this one, but last year, was really when, you know, I got to really meet people and like see, you know, understand them as more than just chat handles or Twitter handles and interact as people and start to really kind of, I think, really care for each other, I think.
One of my
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. One of my memories from that JordanCon was doing a Zoom chat with you and some other folks who couldn't go to that JordanCon. And that was just really special to me because I, as exciting as it was to meet all the people who were there, there were so many people I wanted to meet that couldn't make it. So it was fun to kind of bring you and some others around the crowd to just kind of see what was going on. And then you came the following year and this year as well, right?
Yeah.
So you've been to two.
Yeah. I've been to two now. And I remember like you, I believe you asked in Dusty Wheel chat around that time, like if anyone had, like who wanted to Zoom and like be able to be a part of it for the people who couldn't come, which was like wonderful. Like, thank you so much. And like, there was kind of a few of us that kind of took you up on it and it kind of became like our first mini FOMOCon in a way before like FOMOCon really became a thing on the Only Finns Discord server. So
technically, the first Lightswork project.
Kind of, yeah.
Unofficially, yeah.
Yeah, unofficially, you're right. That's true.
That's a historic previous.
Like a 0.5 Lightswork project. Or something.
Yeah. No, I mean. So do you think that happening and, you know, seeing people and, you know, interacting obviously more and more and the show came out, when did you decide, hey, I have to go to JordanCon 2022? Like when was that like kind of feeling? Do you remember?
Well, I think I really wanted to go even the year before. Okay. I think it was still kind of the lockdown and the pandemic era that was really kind of like, I still didn't feel comfortable, so that's why I didn't go that year. I really wanted to, like the FOMO was really high, and it would definitely look like an intimate gathering that year because it was like kind of restricted. But I knew I wanted to go, and then I think by the year after, I think things had gotten better, and I was finally felt comfortable to attend.
Yeah, no, that I always try to think back when I decided that, like, I'm going, because I had heard of JordanCon like years ago, and I had thought like in 2013 or something, like when Memory Light was coming out, I was like, oh, I should try to go to Atlanta or whatever. Like, never happened. So I was trying to, and I'm like kind of sad because I remember things, and I don't remember when I decided that I'm gonna go to JordanCon 2022. The fact that it happened the year before, I think it just, I couldn't go. Like, it was impossible, given the work I do. It's just not possible that year. But I knew I'd thought about it then, too. But you went, and then you're like, yeah, I'm going to go again next year. So you came this year, too. Was that an easy decision?
It's a pretty easy decision. Like, the conventions are a lot of fun to meet everyone in person that you've been chatting with for so long and finally getting to just, like, hug them in person, meet them in person, have more conversations that you can't have, like, in a smaller setting. And just things are more intimate, like the sort of picnic cons that we had 2 years ago, right? Like, yeah. Those are really special moments. And so it's... Plus, all the con stuff is always a ton of fun, the panels and everything.
Yeah, I mean, picnic tables, best memory. I think in terms of this year, how is it different for you? You know, this second time going, did you feel, yeah, I'm a con-goer now, I know how to do this? Or like, you know, what was your experience this time versus the first time?
It's a good question. Like, I think it's like, it was a lot of the same as the first one. I think it's still like, you've met everyone before, so in a way you feel comfortable. But I think for me, it's still like the same social anxiety I always have whenever I go to like gathering of a lot of people in a situation where you have to be kind of more extroverted is always there. And it was there in this one as well. That's just kind of like an internal personality thing. I think like for those people who have it, that's just the way they are, or, you know, versus if you're extroverted, you know. And it was interesting to see just how different it was from year to year. Like, it's definitely a lot of people that were there the first year that I really missed not seeing this year because they couldn't come for reasons. And, you know, and things were different this year. Obviously, it's going to be different every year, right? So, like, we didn't have as many picnic cons, and that was a little sad. But also, you know, we had things like WreathCon, which were amazing and like one of the best moments. So it all balances out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's you find magical moments that you obviously don't anticipate. And I think that's the most wonderful thing about these cons and gatherings is, yes, the panels are awesome. Seeing people, all of that. There's so many great things that you know about, you know. But there's moments that you know you can't like get planned for and things like that. So it's you know, like karaoke, like doing that, you know, like that was something that like we just thought of like 5 days before and just happened and it was awesome. And hopefully we could do it more and more and it'd be great. So yeah, JordanCon was awesome. It was great to see you again. And conventions are special places.
Yeah, karaoke was a ton of fun. I mean, we had karaoke 2 years ago, like as part of JordanCon, but this was like a different experience because it was kind of like smaller subset of people. It was a little more focused on kind of what idol and a little more of an intimate space, I think. So I think both karaoke's were special in their own way, and it was a ton.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of neat how things evolve from year to year, and it's always the unexpected little things that happen that make it fun. Do you think you'll make it to WattCon?
I haven't ruled it out yet. It's not currently planned, but I'm hoping to decide soon. So I hope so, but it's not currently a yes.
Okay, everyone. So you have a job to do. You all need to convince Rajesh to go to WattCon because he hasn't ruled it out. So let's get him from, like, what percentage of certainty are you sure right now that you might go?
Oh, it's like 50-50 right now. It's
50-50. Okay.
Oh, we need to tip. 50-50 is basically a yes in my head.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too hard, people. Let's just sway him over the edge. It only takes a little bit.
Yeah.
So the last thing we usually like to ask just about the Wheel of Time and fandom in general, I mentioned earlier the lights work, which, you know, is what we talk about on this podcast. It's referring to acts of kindness among the fandom and acts of creativity and joy and all of that. And so we're just wondering if you have ever been the recipient of Light's work for yourself personally. Has anyone ever done something that was really special or meaningful for you?
I think for me, For me, that would just be kind of like the love and support that I kind of get from everyone in the community. Like, just the, I think just all the nice things people say, the way people make you feel good about yourself, they lift you up. Whenever you feel bad or want to just go vent that, like, you're just having a really bad week or your brain goblins are eating away at you and you just feel miserable, you can find people there to be like, tell you that, you know, I relate with what you're going through. It's going to be okay. You're not alone in this. I feel the same way all the time. And that, you know, you are like special, you're like valued, and you don't be hard on yourselves and try and see yourself as special the way other people do. And I think that's something the community does very well for everyone who needs it from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Lights fandom, assemble. let's defeat the brain goblins. Like, it's like, you know, like it's no, I like we see it all the time. And you're right. It's so special.
Yeah. Just that unconditional positive regard and no judgment and just a desire to make sure people know they're not alone. Like, especially when someone makes the effort to share something that might be a little bit vulnerable or they might feel bad about. And when they open up, it's like everybody just kind of jumps to give them a hug and even just a metaphorical hug of just saying, like, you know, I've been there, you're not alone. That just feels so good.
Yeah, and you really see people, I think, open up in a way in the fandom that I feel like they don't always would open up with, like, maybe their own family members or friends. And there's something about the space and the people where people feel safe to share kind of those experiences and difficulties that they wouldn't with other people. So in a way, they're able to get kind of the support that they don't get elsewhere.
That's so true. I feel like the conversations I've had with people in the fandom are so different than other conversations I have in my life. And I feel like I'm different and I open up more and in a different way. It's so interesting how that works. I'm very fascinated by it because I'm doing this podcast, but just like, you know, what is it about these books and these people and this fandom that like makes people want to like share themselves in that way? It's so interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree. It's like something about how we make people feel safer, like it's okay to be vulnerable, which you don't see elsewhere.
Yeah, it's okay to be flawed because the characters are flawed. I mean, we love them anyway, even though, you know, they're not perfect. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
All right, time to riot. You guys.
Time to riot.
That's right.
Time to riot.
Enough sappiness. Right. Yeah. It's time to riot.
Okay. All right. Right. Okay. So we need you to define what riot, what does that mean? What does that word mean? And I'm going to put my academic hat on because then I'll actually define it. So I'm doing that. So what do you think riot means to you?
Well, I haven't thought about what's going to happen when I need to riot if we don't get Grollum in season two. But I think it's probably actually going to be mostly just frustration, a lot of anger on Twitter, and then I'm going to watch the show anyway. it's just basically, like, riot is like means like I'm going to quit the show. You guys are like done too much. These are too many cuts. We cannot stand for this anymore. I'm quitting, but I'm actually not quitting. I'm going to keep watching.
That's good. So
mostly be you venting on social media.
Right,
you're not
right.
going to actually physically show up at Amazon Studios and start an actual riot.
I mean, if we could actually get people to go to Jordan Studios and have like a riot convention, then I think we might
RiotCon.
RiotCon. that is something we could do. I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah. I mean, the noun riot, right, is a violent disturbance of the peace by a crowd. So it's peace and quiet at Jordan Studios, and it'll be violence and breaking, which is, you know, maybe is that, you know, like a character trait that you play on Twitter? Is that where maybe it comes from? That
it would be if I wasn't a really bad Zen mountain right now. If I wasn't supposedly in a state of Zen, but was more my usual chosen-y Morden self, then yes, I think it would be pro balefire and riot at this point.
That's something we forgot to ask you about. One of the things I love about your account on Twitter is how you're constantly fluctuating between Zen and rioting and becoming a volcano. You have like,
and then like Cameron and the bird face, and like there's like what?
So many identities. You just never know.
It's good. Yeah.
If I see a new like profile pic, I'm like, is that a new person or is that Maury? Like, who's that?
It's probably you.
It's probably Maury.
Because I'm like, I'm reading, like, I'm like, this reads like him. Oh, it isn't. Okay,
yeah. Yeah, you probably change your name and picture more than anybody else, I think. But are still so easily recognizable in terms of, like,
yes,
you
know, exactly. The way
your sense of humor and everything. So violence. Okay, I need to ask you. There was this one particular tweet where you talked about rioting that had this gif of a panda like taking a tantrum, like smashing things on a desk. Is that kind of what you see as the type of violence that would be in a Wheel of Time riot? Like, would you wear a panda costume to do it?
I haven't thought about getting a panda costume. I might do, but the panda mode is like special kind of. It's one of those many modes that Mori goes through. Right, Mori's got Zen. Mori's got clown. He's got this hype phase, and then he's got
hype Mori. It's my favorite.
Right, yeah, favorite. And then he's got like just pure rage and anger panda mode, which is like kind of a thing that me and Uno's eye patch kind of do. And it's just kind of like these great series of like commercials that were made for this cheese, I believe. It's like, I don't know if I forget. I don't want to screw it up, but there's basically these series of commercials for this cheese, I believe. And like they all involve like someone deciding not to get like the brand that's being advertised, like they want to get a different kind of cheese, and then a panda always shows up and just creates violence because they're not choosing the right cheese, right? So it's like
Kraft, you're getting Kraft.
Exactly. So it's like you just imagine like that scene is like in that commercial,
only Philadelphia, like, in this house.
It's like the writers are making the wrong decision, and then the panda shows up because he's like, what are you, you're cutting Grollum? You cannot do that. And then he starts smashing a keyboard on someone's desk. So.
Oh, I love this so much. I didn't know so that those good. Commercials existed. This is amazing.
I don't want to ever see them now because I'm just like, I just want to, like, it's in my head in like what it would be. And I think you gave Rajesh a cosplay idea for a future convention.
Riot Panda. Right. We want to see it. Yeah.
I didn't know there was backstory. I thought it was just, you know, but now that you're saying that, yes, I've seen the panda, like the panda thing in your name. I mean, there's so many, like, I don't know. Is it True Blood or like something that Cameron is in, or like, I don't know. There's like so many other ones that you do, but panda, that's a good one. I like it.
Yeah, Cameron was Alexander Skarsgård, who was in True Blood. He's he's a character I play in a vampire tabletop game that I'm doing. And so I just, at one point, decided to just bring him over for a while on Twitter and just confuse everyone.
you have me confused still, so you did a good job. Yeah. You want to start? So that was one tweet that was there. So so you guessed, what was it, 300? So maybe another guess. It's double digits.
Okay, it's probably like 60 then.
Okay, let's keep going. All right, we'll reveal it and listen to the end to find out what the actual number is. Do you have a favorite that you want to start with, Grace, or like any that you want to start with? He's already mentioned Grollum like five times.
Yes, I think we should probably start with Grollum because he already mentioned it. Yes, so yeah. We found at least two tweets where you mentioned that you will riot if there are no Grollum in season two. So how strongly do you feel about this? Like, would this be like absolutely straight to panda mode, or is this sort of like, yeah, I want that sort of?
Pretty strong about it. It's funny because it's like, it's a thing that I might not have tagged it with Riot, but it's a kind of a thing where I play this game of like unnecessarily comparing Watt with other productions. So I'll be watching like one of the many other fantasy shows that are on TV.
You did it with Last of Us, I think.
Right. Like, it could be Witcher, Shadow and Bone, doesn't matter, take your pick. And like, just be watching, and then there'll be like some amazing CG in there, like some amazing creature. And I'll just be like, okay, now Mori's got to go on his BS and be like, okay, if they can do that, we have to get Grollum. Why can't we have Grollum if they can do that? And if we don't get Grollum, then I'm going to riot because this isn't fair. So I like start getting angry.
I like that there's actually like backstory there. That is, there's it's just not like, you said it once and that's what it is, but now there's like more to it. It's like there's reasoning behind it. It's not just random rioting. No. It's like, yeah, it's like there's something to it. And okay, so you want live action. You don't want like a statue or anything like that, or a drawing.
No, it has to be a movie. I mean, it can't just be like that.
Like, it has to move too.
Not just that Sean Chan like carving of the post. No. It's gonna be like we want the Grolem in the mirror world, right? With Celine and everything. We want the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Right. This is our moment before the show comes out to have all of our dreams. Before they get crushed. So.
This is true. I feel like we saw some kind of creature in the season 2 teaser in the scene where Uno is, I think, kneeling. And it looked like there was some kind of tigery thing. Maybe
it was like more of a statue, though.
Was it a statue? Oh, okay.
That's why I brought that up. Like, okay. could they have just, you know, showed that and like the ships, like, they don't like going on the ship, so that's why they didn't come over, but they wanted to show that those exist. Mm. But if it's Tar, they can still show it, so you're right.
And also in the Sean Chan ships at the end of episode 8, I think they...
On the mast?
They also have that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so hey, it's a full panda mode if you don't see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So could we rate that, like if we had a scale of 1 to 10 and 10 was like panda mode and 1 was like, oh, just some minor grumbling on Twitter, would this be a 10?
Ooh, Grolem would be like maybe a 7.
Okay.
Right. So, okay, good. Thank you. All right, now I actually have to like look at these. okay, this, I think this one, so this is back from July of 2021. And you said, cut Varin and a riot ensues. So, I mean, like,
I don't even remember that.
Like riot is like a small word for this.
I don't even remember that. Why would I? Well, I wonder what was going on that we thought Varin was even like potentially being cut. Like we still don't have her confirmed, though I'm pretty sure it's confirmed. Or I think 95% of the fandom is on the Mira Sile is for Varin, but that's funny that it was even a consideration.
All right. So like you would definitely panda if Varin was cut.
Yeah, Varin's like a 9, right? That's pretty, like, we need Varin.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we even really need to explain this one. It's just obvious. Don't. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Good.
Here's what one that I really like. This is sort of a fandom-related one. You have a response to the Weiramon account on Twitter. This is also from July of 21. That you said, if your character doesn't look like your avatar, we riot. So if you don't know the Weiramon account, I think it's at Weiramon S.
That's hilarious.
On Twitter. One of my favorite accounts. Like the political satire that he does with his rants is just amazing. So if you're not following Weiramon S, you need to. But Rajesh, could you tell us what his avatar looks like?
His avatar looks like, I believe it is like one of the nobles from the Gummy Bears cartoon.
Yes.
And so it's a very wonderfully exaggerated, puffed up noble, I will say. And it's one of the funniest things I've seen. And we need Weiramon to look like that. Our kind of leader of the charge has to look like our Twitter of time Weiramon.
Yeah, it's kind of the perfect look for Weiramon, I think. Just his face and like his nose and just it's perfect. And he has like almost like those squiggly eyebrows. So how would you rate this one from 1 to 10 if we don't get the gummy bears villain Weiramon on Wheel of Time?
I'll put that at like a 5 or 6. It's okay.
Okay.
I mean, that is, you know, perfect like fodder to be like, the game was weary, but it wasn't this. Like that would that would merit a discussion on Twitter, right? So yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it happening for sure. okay. So let me do one from, this is probably one of my favorites. And I think I think I responded to this. I don't think you tagged me in this, but you said, if, and this was March this year, if we don't get an episode titled "The Grave Is No Bar to My Call," I'm going to riot.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. So these are, this was around, probably around a time when, so like one of the frustrating things this year or for season two is we still have like no episode titles other than the pilot, Taste of Solitude. And for season one, we had most, like the first six, I believe. And it was fun because like episode four was like the Dragon Reborn. And I think episode five was like the Flame of Tarvalon, I believe. And it led to a lot of discussion about like, what do these episode titles mean? Are they going to be done with season one in just four episodes? And there was like a ton of discussion just trying to figure out what's coming on from the titles. And like, we don't have any of that for season two. So it's frustrating. But we know that like, they like to take them from book chapters. So I was like kind of looking at like the all the chapters in The Great Hunt and The Dragon Reborn for potential titles, right? But this one is just perfect because the title itself is just perfect. It's kind of like, it's like if they use the old tongue, right? You know, Morden is in there as Grave, which is like something that obviously I'm interested in, and obviously
it's awesome.
Yeah, I love that so much.
And obviously it confirms, like, you know, Barney's gonna toot, not Barney, but Donald's gonna toot, and that, you know, we got to get our kind of heroes of the horn in the episode. So
that was gonna be my next question
in there.
Yeah, so will you riot if Donald doesn't blow the horn?
Oh yeah, I mean, we were okay. Practically rioting on that Dusty Wheel episode.
Yes, we were.
It was even suggested.
Yes.
That Dusty Wheel episode is an example of how we actually riot when we riot.
Yes.
Just a lot of mean messages about what is happening and hashtags.
So what do you think about this? They show the horn and it's like old tongue. And then, like, that text appears and it fades away and
right,
it says,
right.
The grave is no more. Yeah, right. What do you guys think?
Hate it.
Will you riot if that happens?
I will riot if there's any dissolving text. Like,
I can't. No crossfades. I don't think there's any good version of that they can pull off.
Never. If they do, I'll be really impressed, but just no.
I'll
learn
allow
from
it.
Rings of Power, don't do it.
I'll allow it if it's like the prologue and like we've got an image of Luthier and Telamon and then it like just crossfades to like Dragon Mount, but that's about the only version of that I'll accept.
Yeah.
And then like she is there scowling, not just at what Luthier did, but also at the crossfade. Like, come.
It's actually at that.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, this is what they went with? No, I think it's like perfect, you know, going back to the actual like episode title. It's like perfect. Like when you see that, you know, to most of us, we'll know exactly what it is. But like a lot of people would be like, wait, what is this? Is this like ghosts? Or like, what is this about? So people who haven't watched. So I think that's a great one. What do you got next?
Can we hear your rating on this one, Rajesh? 1 to 10?
Yes.
10, yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, this is a 10. Okay. Nice. This is a 10. Nice.
This is a big.
Because I think this is.
This is how you screw up season 2.
I like it.
Yes.
No, it's because, I mean, it's a 10 because it's like, it's easy. Do it. It's
yeah.
Right there.
Like, it's not hurting anybody. Just make the episode title. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
So my next one, I feel like I have to take this one. This is actually your most recent one that we could find. It was from April 23rd. And it says, if we don't get Aiel jokes, I will riot. I will also LMAO at each one of them.
So wait. When you say if we don't get Aiel jokes, like we don't get them or like don't get them?
Oh, if we,
what do you mean?
If we don't have Aiel humor, gotta have Aiel humor.
Sorry, that was
I got. I just said the double meaning.
I mean, both, right? Like,
yeah.
We have to get them, and then once we get them, we won't get them.
I won't get them. Okay.
Yeah. Like, if we laugh right away, then it's like It's not an IEL.
It was an IEL joke. Right. Yeah.
It should be like confusing to us, but hilarious to the IEL, and maybe confusing to Rand or whoever's there. Then they nailed it.
Oh, I want to see Josha's like bewildered face. Like, what? What is going on? It'll probably be Perrin.
Yeah, it'll probably be Perrin for season two.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to worry about this one. I think we saw a little bit of it even in the Q&A video. Yeah.
No, they were funny though. That was actually funny.
But it was like a dry type of funny. So I think we'll get.
Wait, do I get Aiel humor? Is that what you just like? I like Aiel humor. Is this what happened? I don't like this.
It was not Aiel humor. It was the actors who are playing Aiel humor. But in the show we'll get Aiel humor. I'm sure of it.
Sure of it? Wow.
I'm sure
of it. You went from, I don't know if we'll get Bane and Chied after we saw two people standing with Aiel is smart, to now we're getting Aiel humor. I like this.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been given hope. That video gave me life. So yeah, I'm in a better place now.
So when she blacked out,
I think we'll get Aiel humor from Bane and Chied in season two.
Absolutely. You have to. Okay. Wow. So 1 to 10 for that one.
That's like a 9.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty high. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see. I mean, I have to go to... I'll combine all of these. They're the Finn ones. They're three.
And they, like, the escalate.
The first one, and they're not in order. So one is, I think, August of 2022. Finn or Riot? Period. Riot Saver. So, you know, just like, you know, that. Okay,
yeah.
I don't think that's stuck around, but yeah.
The second one is show better have hot Finn. All right. So now, not just Finn.
But now it's escalated to hot Finn. Yeah.
And then the last one, again, they're not in order, but like in my head, is if Donald Finn doesn't meet cousin Finn, there will be riots. Maybe even some book defending and even quitting of TV show. Unacceptable. Hashtag unacceptable betrayal. So that's that, like, it is. So what do you think?
So, like, obviously, I've got a wonderful relationship with the Fox and Snakes account on Twitter of Time, and we've got, like, our sort of betrayal and saver tag, which, if you don't know about, is kind of like a volleyball set in Spike type of thing, where, like, I come in at my account and deliver up some hope, which will probably get betrayed, and then, like, the Finn saver off of all the... kind of the misery of people who are like crying over some hope that's been betrayed, basically. And that somebody came up, been using the betrayal then saver tag for a long time. And so we definitely need Finn on the show, right? I think we need to see our wonderful snakes and foxes, our Trixie Fae, our and Hot Finn was probably something that came out of after the fandom went to kind of wild for Trollocs. I don't know if you guys know about like Trolloc nipples and the Trolloc attraction.
No, I haven't heard about that. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. That's weird. Yeah.
Try to forget it all the time.
So I think after we all outed ourselves as kind of monster lovers, I'll say, then I'm like, okay, like, then we need Hot Finn also, right? This will be a mistake if we're not fawning over the Finn as well. And obviously we need Donald Finn and the Finn to meet up, right? That's like a critical scene.
Season three.
Season three.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. I think that is, for me personally, before you rank it, 10. I would riot.
Yeah, 10.
So we're 10 for all three. Finn, Hot Finn, and Donald Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, of course, they're going to be hot. Like, so the other two, like, are like, you know, but I think that part, yeah, they're going to be hot for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, snakes and foxes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I mean, have you not seen their memes that they sent people? They're not, like, you know, did you remember that one time snakes and foxes on Twitter started doing these, like, memes and of cartoonish snakes and foxes? No?
They've done a lot of memes, but they've also, I think what I like is they did a lot of they were almost doing a per request, but doing not safe for, and then whoever asked for it. So
not safe for someone.
Not safe. I think there was one for the dusty wheel. Not safe for the dusty wheel. And the more there was a not safe for Moradin one that he created with the Ferris wheel, which was hilarious.
Nice.
That's great.
All right, cool.
All right, so speaking of hot people, you have from August of 2022, if Grendel is skinny, we riot. So we can't have a skinny Grendel.
Yeah, that's not Grendel, right? I mean, that's not the Grendel we know. We need the... Like, there's got to be plenty of skinny hot people on the show. Let us have, our full Grendel.
Absolutely.
Grendel is in Lizzo. We riot.
I mean, yeah, that was my next comment, is that I need it to be Lizzo. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. All right. How strongly do we feel about this one from 1 to 10?
8.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think Grendel's going to, I'm really excited for all the Chosen, but definitely excited to see Grendel amongst, it's like one of the top Chosen I'm excited to see. So I hope they get it right.
Do you think we'll see her in season 2?
No, I have doubts we'll see her in season 2. But I hope we're not going to wait till season 4 to see everyone. I hope by season 3 we get everyone, or they find a way to play some tricks where we see everyone, but they don't have to necessarily cast them. But season 4 just seems like too long to get all of them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the same kind of, I'm just, did we rate that? We rated that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is if you, in March this year, you said if they cut Moggy, I will riot. So how strongly do you feel about that?
Oh, that's like a 10. I love Moggy. Moggedion's great. And I hope we see her in season 2. I don't know if we will, but I have a small hope that we see Moggedion in season 2. Like, I don't know. I really want to know who Leia Costa is playing. I don't know if I pronounced her name right, but it's one of the most interesting castings that we don't know that's out there. Mm. And Moggedion and Aludra are two candidates that I have for her.
I mean, from what we're thinking, it could be a white cloak for all we know at this point. Right.
That's going to be the best. That's never what we expect. When everyone turns out to be a novice or a white cloak.
It'd be Faelin or someone,
Yes.
This one I am just really curious about, and I don't know if you can tell us the answer to this. It's from October of 2021, and the original tweet that you responded to has been deleted, so I have no idea what you're talking about, but it says...
Why are you rioting? Tell us.
I need to know. If Yosha doesn't wear that costume, we riot. Do you know what it was?
Oh my god. I have no idea now.
Like the red coat? I mean, it must be.
Like, I feel like it was. I feel like it was tongue in cheek. It was something funny. Oh, I think. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember. October 21. Yeah.
All right. If you're listening and you remember, please tell us, comment, email, hit us up on Twitter, because I really need to know. And we can't find obviously the original tweet is gone. So
maybe it's like something Yosha shared and he was wearing something. That's probably the best bet, because it could be anything, and we could that'd be hard to get to. But yeah, if you remember this, please let us know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's what do you want to, give that a random rating? How strongly do you feel about this costume?
Let's give it a 4, I guess. I don't know. Let's give one under 5, just because I don't have enough context.
Grace had put an X, but
no. Now it's a 4.
It's a 4. In May of 2022, you were cutting quarterstaff and igloo scene. How? I mean, those are two different, but let's say iconic scenes.
Yeah.
Like those. How strongly do you feel about?
So the question you got to ask about all these kind of riot tags is, am I a book cloak?
How much of a book cloak
am I really in secret and just disguising it in fun and cheeky riot tweets?
Ooh, that's a really good point.
I mean, these are both famous scenes, right, from the books that are that we both want to see, right? So I think, which one's more important? I probably would have said quarterstaff until recently, but now I'm going to go igloo is more important than the quarterstaff. However, it doesn't have to be like, whether it's an igloo or a, I forgot the word, kintsy or something else, but
yeah,
the heart and spine of that scene we need. That's a 10.
So yes. you're saying I don't care where or how it happens.
It just has to happen.
I think we're pretty safe in saying that it'll happen. So yeah. That's, I like how you're like, I just want Rand and Abby to screw.
Yeah. I think if I would revise it now to make it more interesting is like we need a scene of like...
Wait, fanfic? Are we getting fanfic?
No. Okay. This is not fanfic. But this is like, we need a scene with... We somehow need Arianda and Elaine to see each other in like season 2, because like we kind of need the scene in season 3 where Arianda is telling Rand about Elaine's body, and because that's hilarious, and that's kind of the new scene I might write over if you don't get.
Oh wow! Okay, this is like breaking
live,
news.
Live
from the lights work, everybody. We riot
if we don't get Arianda.
In very, very intricate detail, right. Describing
and like a flat monotone. Have you not seen those hips?
Yeah.
And then that covers too, because we've got like Aiel humor and we've got
Oh, that's so good.
Cool. Okay, this one cracks me up a bit. From January of 2023, Panther's hat. In Ebu Dar stash, or we riot.
Oh, this must be pretty recent. So this is a callback to our friend Kevin, our wonderful Trolloc nipple aficionado. So if you don't know, I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this podcast knows Kevin, but he's got a very famous Kev face, as I like to call it, smile that you see, a very like cheeky smile, and he's wearing a Panther's hat. In that picture. And so I don't remember the full context, but I think it was an allusion to Kevin and basically of all the fun things we want to see in a random stash of items that have survived the breaking in a stasis box or whatever, a Panther's hat was the one that came up.
Love that. So how strongly do you feel about that one?
It's only a 5.
Oh, okay. Is there something you really do need to see in the Ebu Dar stash?
So, I don't know about Ebu Dar, but I think we need to see something in the Panarch's Palace in Tenchiko. I think that museum needs to have some kind of callback to kind of our maybe modern day age. Like, the Mercedes-Benz is the easy one to go through.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, again, hear me out. Like, there's two things, right? Like an Amazon Alexa is like there. Like, I mean, why not, right? or like shoulder pads, but they're like the shoulder pads for like the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah, so like.
That works into the whole shoulder pads thing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like maybe it's a generic phone or a tablet or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's a Taron Greal, but we don't know how to use it.
It's like, and there's some lettering and we don't know what it says. And it says Prime.
Right.
Is this the old tongue?
I can't take credit for this idea. I feel like somebody else said it, but I would like them to put like a portrait of Robert Jordan somewhere in there, like as an Easter egg. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be cool. Like a nice
it could be
Easter
in the one, any palace or museum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Let's see. This one I like. So we had, you know, Liana Sharif for like 3 seconds in season 1, which was like such a
disappointment.
Give us more.
Yeah, I was so excited about Jennifer Cheon Garcia, and we got her for 1 second.
Yeah. So if Liana doesn't have more than 1 minute of screen time, we riot.
Can't do it again, right? We can't have 2 seasons of like just 1 minute of Leone, right? We gotta get more.
Yeah. So how strongly do you feel about that?
She's such a great person on social media. Like, interactive with the fans. And
she was on the video for like, she answered so many questions.
Yeah,
like,
she did.
She was on the video that the show.
We've already had more than a minute.
Right. She had more screen time.
Have we had more than a minute? We have to go back and see if we have more than a minute.
I'm pretty sure that was more screen time and more speaking words than the show.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we can't have less than that in the show.
That's right. And as that story gets more important, then we definitely got to get more. So that's like a strong 8.
Yeah. I'm forgetting. There's something really cute that she's like said like at the end, like something about spoilers or something, like I can't say something because then like I'll have to, like, you'll have to find out and you have to watch season 2 or something like that. She says something like that. That was it was just I wanted to see her. I like, she's such a great character, right? So you want to see more Aes Sedai, but like we have, you know, we had like 4 Aes Sedai. We just want to see more of them. And I think Lyanna is just a great character. I think there's only one more and you should do this.
There's only one.
Or do you want to do more? No, I mean, do you want to do all of them?
Well, I just found one that I really want to do. I know the one you're talking about, but there's another one I really want to mention because I just looked at the original tweet. It was a reply, and I found how it started. And it actually started underneath a very sentimental Lights Work adjacent tweet by Anas from April 25th of 2022. Yeah. So it's
April,
you.
Wait, say that again.
April 25th of 2022. So last year, right after JordanCon. It's a photo of you and Brian from Barside Chats. And it says, you're going to walk up to people and you're going to see people that you've only ever seen as words on a screen. And you're going to have a face and a personality. And it'll be like we've been best friends for years. Brian, Barside Chats pod on the JordanCon hype episode. No truer words have been spoken. So how did we get from there to Maury rioting? Well, I will tell you. Miss Sarah James commented that she loved meeting you and getting to know you. Our theories / speculation talks were some of my favorite moments of JordanCon 2022. Yeah, she's replying to you. You then reply, of course. What can get better than theorizing with the Tamerlan of Theoryland? I loved how we got rid of Kalendor and then retconned it back within minutes. Brian replies in all caps, you can't cut the sword in stone, y'all, with 3 exclamation points. And then we have Moradin come in and say, if we lose the crucial part of Arthurian lore, I riot.
This is officially my favorite riot of the night.
Absolutely. I love how it went from like sweet sentimentality to theorizing to rioting. Like escalated so quickly.
Yes. A mean time to riot in any thread. the Arthurian lore is some of my favorite stuff in the books. I'm obsessed with kind of tracing back the different names of the characters and how they're all kind of a lot, like a good chunk of them are like versions of Arthur names. Like most of them you can figure out. Some are sometimes a little more not as obvious. Like I didn't realize Nynaeve was one for the longest time, for the Lady in the Lake. Right, so, but ones like, you know, I'm sure most people know about Egwene, but unless you say her name like completely as Egwene Olivier, and you can really get the sounding of Guinevere out of it. Mm-hmm. So like that stuff is very fascinating. And it's very obvious, right? The first 3 books are almost like the Arthur trilogy. I like to call them, that ends with like pulling out the sword and the stone at the Kalendor. And Kalendor is critical for the story. I won't get into it for spoiler reasons. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to have it. There will be riots, I think. But I don't think we will necessarily get it in season 2. So that might have to be a delayed riot.
And would this be a 10?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very critical to the story.
Yeah. Okay. Unless you have another one?
Yeah, I do, but it's not on the list. Or is there some that you don't have on the list?
Are you looking at the spreadsheet?
Yeah.
It's a spreadsheet.
There's like,
of course,
there's like 5 or 6 that we haven't talked about yet.
No, I know, but there's one that I just remembered that you were going to ask, the one we said you'll figure out, like you have to ask Maury what this means.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. Pick another one and come back to me. I'll find it.
Because that's what
I think it somehow got deleted. Like something got messed up and then it was gone.
Oh, okay. So this is the one. Yeah. So this is another one. Again, I don't know, because this was another one that the tweet was deleted. This is you replying, Rajesh saying, yes, if a cup of wine is cut, it's riot time. So do you remember, this is March of last year, and this is Elaine related, I'm imagining, yeah, right? Yeah. I don't remember which chat, what is this?
It's about the Shadow Rising.
Okay.
From Tenchiko. And okay. When they're in Tenchiko, and Elaine is having drinks in the common room. And
When she gets drunk?
She gets drunk on
one cup of wine
or one very big cup of wine, or it's unknown. But the scenes that happen afterwards are hilarious.
Yes.
Okay.
I want Nynaeve dunking Elaine's head in water.
Right.
I want that so bad.
Yes, I like to call it that chapter is called A Cup of Wine, or also known as No One Cares You're the Daughter Heir of Andor, because I think there's like two scenes in that chapter where she's like, I'm the daughter heir of Andor, and then like Tom doesn't care and smacks her, and then like Nynaeve waterboards her. And just like, no one cares that you're the daughter heir in that chapter. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the funniest things. Like, I love the Wheel of Time because there's like just so many layers to it, and humor is one of those things that is just prevailing throughout the series, and that's definitely one of the funniest moments in the books.
It's funny you mentioned both of those things in that Twitter thread, even though the original tweet is deleted. Jesse, who's at Sarcasm Welcome, mentions the dunking Elaine into a bucket of water, and then Cool Story What Podcast mentions, yes, I need to hear, how dare you, I'm the daughter heir of blah 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 blah, whatever, like, you know, like just basically that. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Nice. Did we get your rating on that one? How important is that?
Well, that's like a 9 for me. I don't know, I mean, it's not actually story critical, but it's so like what are we doing? I feel like it's one of those like, what are we doing? We're adapting the Wheel of Time and we're not putting the cup of wine in there. Like, it doesn't have to be in Tenchiko. I think it could be one of those things that easily gets moved around anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's easy enough to do. But at some
point, we should get it.
Yeah.
It's like, we defeated the Black Hydra. You know, she's just like mouthing off, you know. And just having fun, yeah.
Okay, I found the one that I was going to ask you about. I have no idea what you're talking about here. So, and it's pretty recently, so hopefully you'll remember.
And it's this, like,
is from March 3rd of 2023. Chopsticks and Wine, season 3, or Riot.
What? No, but there's something before that. It's like, this is for, and you tag me.
Oh. Okay, making it about you again, I see. Excuse me. Let me start again. The tweet says, this is for Anas, Chopsticks and Wine, season 3, or Riot. Sincerely, more ... Cameron.
I must have been in the Cameron phase at that point. So I think this is like kind of around when I started, like after I think Anas took notice of my use of rioting that I started to tag him whenever I would put up a riot tweet. But this relates to the other one. This is a Tenchiko again. Wine refers to a cup of wine. And then there's another scene in the Shadow Rising where they're in Tenchiko, where they're basically eating fruits with chopsticks. And of course, they're struggling with it. And Nynaeve especially, I believe, is struggling with the chopsticks and is getting frustrated and just like what are these stupid things. And it's just another hilarious scene from Nynaeve. So it's like, it's one of those levity moments that are just, I love, that get sprinkled out throughout the series. And I don't remember, and I think a similar scene is also kind of like that. I don't remember if it's in Tenchiko now, but it's like they were supposed to go outside and they're like wearing veils, and like it keeps like getting into her mouth or something all the time. Yes. It just keeps spitting it out, is like one of my funny scenes.
Yeah, I didn't realize until someone pointed it out to me that the reason it was getting into her mouth is because her nose was so high in the air. Like, I didn't even, and that's so clever, like so clever. So how would you rate the chopsticks? The wine was a 9. So what do you think about the chopsticks?
Chopsticks, I might lose that, so that's probably only like a 6. And yeah, Tenchiko is just great. I love Tenchiko, and I really hope we get Tenchiko on the show.
Yeah, and I think like as the story grows and expands and they visit other places, we definitely need stuff like that where they're, you know, learning another culture or they're like trying to understand and failing. I think that's a really important part of the series in general. So if we don't get the chopsticks, hopefully we'll get something similar.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned that you started tagging me. We have a count on that too.
Okay.
So how many times do you think you tagged both of us or, you know, either of us for these?
Maybe like 5 times, maybe. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. New, but a couple times.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Okay. Cool. We'll find out. Keep listening. It's not even like no one cares.
No one cares, no one cares except for you. But yeah. That's fine.
I'm interested, but.
Hey. It's fun.
We're glad you're having fun.
Enjoy this, all of you. I think I don't have any more.
Then, I mean, this last one I want to mention, but like it's kind of a moot point. But you did say in February of 2022, so over a year ago, you said Bane and Chiad and Mori or we riot. So thankfully we don't have to riot unless we don't get more. Do you want actually having Moradin in season 2 or season 3?
Oh, no. I don't think he'll... No. If Moradin's in the show, I don't think it'll be until season 4. Okay. I think... And I, at this point, I really don't know, to be honest. I think it's important, but like there are arguments why it might not happen. So for me, I think it's not something I've officially put out as a riot, but I think... But my desire is that we obviously see Ishii die this season. So we'll see what happens. I think from the moment we saw the sizzle reel, or was it the behind the scenes reel? Not the sizzle one, but the behind the scenes one where we first see Ayula with two other maidens. I think even from back then, we were all pretty much on the, like, that's Bane and Chiad, or we're going to riot, right? Yeah. Like, that has to be. Come on. Nothing else makes sense there.
Yeah.
So a lot of tens.
Yeah, we've got like what, 7, 8 tens? Mm. Yeah. So
can you count?
I don't know. Yeah, 7. There's 7.
Those must be that's a lot of critical book moments and one critical chapter title.
You only get to choose one. That's the most important. There'll be otherwise there'll be too much rioting.
Right.
So which one out of Donal meeting Cousin Finn, Quarterstaff and Igloo scene. Oh, I guess we call it Igloo scene because I think that's the one you said that's more important, or like what happens in the igloo. Oh no, actually, all the three Finn are 10. So that's one. So Finn, Hot Finn, and Hot Finn meeting Hot Matt, and then the Horn one. Yeah, those are and Moggy, I guess.
And Arthurian lore.
Oh, and Arthurian lore. Okay, so those are the ones.
Oh, for me, I mean, they're all good, but I think The Grave is No Bar to My Call is the one I need. And episode 7 or 8, I don't know if they're going to pull an expanse and name episode 8 The Great Hunt after the book or the dragon. They already used the Dragon Reborn, so I'm throwing that out because they already used it in season 1. If they go that route, then they need to name episode 7 The Grave is No Bar to My Call, but... I will be very, very upset if we don't get that as an episode title in season 2.
Yeah, I would hope episode 7 is called that and it ends with, I was going to say a person, no, Matt blowing the horn. Okay. and then there's a big battle in episode 8. Like, I really want that. So, yeah, I would agree with that. That is such a good...
I mean, it's just an episode title, which makes it funny, right? It's not like an actual plot point. I don't know. It really just feels like they need to do that. I'd be very shocked if they do not do that.
I mean, no, you will riot if they do not do that. Mm-hmm. Yes. I will riot with you. Yeah. Awesome. That was fun. A riot raiding session.
A riot ranking episode.
Yeah.
Riot ranking with Rajesh.
Riot ranking with Rajesh. All right. I like it. The other thing we do with all our guests is do rapid questions. So rapid questions with Rajesh now. So the premise of this is, you know, yes or no, one word answers, gut instinct, forever be held to it for, you know, 1,000 times 1,000, you know, until the shadow is
victorious. Or until the next
turn. And if you change your mind, we riot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good for this turning. We'll say that.
You ready?
Okay.
Favorite Wheel of Time book?
Fires of Heaven.
Favorite character?
Morden.
Favorite season one episode?
Episode 4.
Favorite actor on the show?
They're so good. You know what? I'll give it to Maria Doyle Kennedy for one of the best scenes in the show.
Yes.
Nice choice.
So
nice
good.
Choice.
Favorite season two teaser scene?
That helmet of Sauroth is amazing. Just living rent-free in my brain.
Me too.
Perrin, Matt, or Rand?
Rand.
Min, Elaine, or Avienda?
Avienda.
Ilan, Shamel, or Mori?
Mori.
Do we see Gaul in season two?
No.
Will we see Moradin in the TV show?
Yes.
Is Natasha O'Keefe Elida?
Absolutely.
And will you riot if she isn't?
That is an 11 out of 10.
Wow. Nice. Okay. This is interesting. I think she's Lanfear, so I hope that I'll be ready for your riot, I guess.
who knows? I Patch has agreed to eat a copy of Crossroads of Twilight if she isn't. So,
wow.
I might have to find some way to match that level of rioting.
No, Fires of Heaven. Nice. I like that. We need to talk about that sometime.
I love Shadow Rising, but man, Fires of Heaven has such banger moments.
I had it. I was like, sure, you're going to say Shadow Rising for some reason. But yeah, cool. Awesome. So one other kind of new segment that we've been doing is called What in the Wild. So, you know, we started last week. And I like this because I don't know what this is about. But what you've put in the doc here is, I think, the scene. I mean, there's only one scene, so.
Yeah, and yeah. I can't really, I'm not going to say what scene it is because no. Spoilers. No, you okay. Want me to? Sure. I mean, we, yeah. Anyway, What in the Wild. My brother-in-law, Nick, is working his way through A Memory of Light. I'm really excited.
Wait, he's in A Memory of Light?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he finished, I thought I mentioned that last time, that he finished Towers of Midnight. Or is that, was that since we, must be since then. Yeah, he sent me the end of Towers of Midnight.
Okay.
On the 22nd. Yeah. So he's on Memory of Light. So he texted me about a scene with Matt and Rand, and he said it was brilliant and perfect, and he related it to a scene from Star Wars, actually. And he said that's one of his all-time favorite character exchanges.
What scene from Star Wars? You can't just like...
Yeah, I guess it's not spoilers for me to say the scene from Star Wars. Okay, so Han...
I mean, you gave away that Matt and Rand are alive in A Memory of Light, so...
Oh my god. Well, it's been a great 6 months, everybody.
some stabby stabby happening.
Okay, it is the scene of Han and Luke meeting on Jabba's ship in Return of the Jedi. That's what it makes him think of.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, Tyshar, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
I'm sure by the time we release this episode, you'll be done with Memory of Light. I'm sure you're going to get through it quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, he's fast. Wow. And it's a good book.
It's a great
book. No, I'm like excited about this now. I've been excited, but like, I didn't realize he was on A Memory of Light. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. The other thing we do before we end is our favorite fandom moment of the week. So Rich, we'll have you go in the end. And Grace, why don't you go first?
Yeah, so mine is, well, I guess kind of two things.
Gonna grace it.
Wait, what? So I was lucky enough to be able to be on the Dusty Wheel this week and talk about Iola Smart as Avienda, and that was just a total blast. And I love all my Threefold Talk co-hosts that were there with me. They were amazing, and it was a really great night. And because we were on the Dusty Wheel on Wednesday, we got the night off on Thursday, and we did not do Threefold Talk, but we still had a show, and it was the Flickr World version of Threefold Talk. And this was my favorite fandom moment because it's just showing how well we get to know each other in this fandom. And we had four people playing Flickr World versions of the Aiel on the show. So we had you, Anas, playing me. We had Tree playing Shelly. We had Jessica Sedai playing Leia. And we had Beth playing Melindra. And everybody was so great. Like, they just knew it so well. And, you know, clearly all follow Threefold Talk and know all of us, and we've all met. And I just thought that was really sweet, just to be seen and known, and, you know, to have a group of people be able to parody one another is just so funny to me, and just such a lovely little fandom thing. So I loved that. Thank you to everybody who was in it. And I don't know, did you have fun doing that, Anas? Was it fun to be me?
it's okay. So there's layers to this, right? There's the, you know, making sure you do something right. You know, that's like one of the most important things when I do shows. It's like, that's an important thing for me. Mm-hmm. So there's like a that aspect to it, to making sure, you know, doing well. And then the actual show was just so much fun, you know, interacting with everyone and seeing chat and seeing you all in chat. And that was fun. And I got to wear a flannel, so that was fun. That was fun.
It was a great episode.
It was so good. I had a blast.
So what's your second?
No, it was both. It was, that was, oh, the two that I was on the dusty wheel, and then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. So I have two. and I'm like forgetting my two now, so because I didn't write them down. Oh, okay. Yes, I remember now. Okay, good. So I have two. My first one was both of them are a return of something that I absolutely love. And I think a lot of the fandom loves too. So the return of a happy hour dusty wheel is just awesome. I mean, obviously the fact that I got to be part of it and do it was just amazing. But I think the fact that that happened and people showed up, people had fun, and we were breaking down things, and we were, you know, just like old school, you know, dusty wheel content. It's just, I thought that was just amazing, and I loved seeing all the interaction with that. And then the other thing was the return of Barchai chats. I mean, like, we had like two episodes in a row, and this is like my favorite podcast, you know, like the thing I like absolutely like love listening to. And, you know, they haven't been as active, so the fact that that came back, and at least I'd like to think again that there's a, you know, big fandom that loves Farsight Chats and, you know, is listening, and I'm sure there is. So, but to me, to personally see that and have that drop was a favorite kind of thing. And I hope it continues to happen with more frequency.
Yeah, I hope
that was really exciting. Show.
Yeah, you know, return of two of my most favorite things. Okay. Rajesh, what do you got? Do you got anything?
Okay, so I think a lot happens in a week, but I think the thing that stood out for last week was the seeing Watt Wednesday change to be a focus on the writers of the Wheel of Time as part of the WGA strike that's currently happening. And I think it was just great to see most of the fandom that I saw, at least, we're all very supportive of the writer's strike, supportive of kind of Rafe turning Wednesdays into a spotlight on the writers, since he cannot do promotions while he's on strike. And I don't think I saw too many or any real, like, people being mean or harassing about it, which was great to see a ton of support in the community for the writers who make the show. And I think Rafe's tweet this week was on Amanda Kate Sherman. And if you haven't, please read the series of tweets that he put out. It's a wonderful look into the writers and what their lives are like and what they do for the show that we, like, a lot of us love. And we're going to see more of these on Wednesdays, I think. And I think it's a wonderful spotlight and gives you a look at the humans that are making the show. And I think it's great. So that's my fandom moment of the week.
That is a fandom moment of the week right there.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
That's awesome. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yes. And that angle of the fandom was like, hey, we're with you guys. You know, like there's nothing like oh, we like finally started getting Want Wednesday, and now we don't, like, there's nothing.
Yeah, nobody
like that
complained. Yeah.
Yeah, which was just so great to see, and yeah, I'm glad Rafe tweeted. I think that was and tweeted in that manner was just awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's it. I mean, I think we did a lot in this show. I had a lot of fun. Grace, do you have anything to add before we kind of end here?
No, just thank you so much, Rajesh. It's been great having you on the show. It's great having you in our Discord server. And I loved hearing a little bit more background about these tweets. I have trouble following along with Twitter a lot of times these days, so I did not know the backstory to most of those tweets. So thank you for sharing that with us and being such a great guest.
Yeah, we look forward to writing with you in the future.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun. I didn't know what we were going to talk about, so when you finally said it, that took me by surprise. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I think it was fun to revisit a lot of these, which I haven't even remembered since I initially tweeted a long time ago. So it is like, oh, yeah, I did see that. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I feel.
So, nice.
It was fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being awesome. Yeah, but if you guys like hearing what we do and what we say, you can follow us on social media, on Twitter at LightsWorkPod, on Instagram at TheLightsWork. You can join our Discord server. It is... been very active. A lot of new people joined the last few days, and I was like, that was awesome. You know, it was our 6 months anniversary, and that was great. And if you're able and you can, sponsor us on Patreon. And we'll be back next week. But until then, it's your turn to go out into the world and do the Light's Work.
The Light's Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Light's Work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice, follow us on social media, or sponsor us on Patreon.